This is Brian Kaplowitz, and you're listening to the Speaker Match Radio Series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. This is a live show where we interview top experts in the speaking industry and business to provide emerging speakers with marketing strategies and other business-building advice. If you're listening live, you can participate in this call online right now by going to speakermatch.com/radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Brian Kaplowitz, and I will be your host today. This is the Speaker Match radio series, and today our guest is James Malinchak. And this is about the time of year that we always have James on our show. It's the back-to-school time, and a lot of people are wondering how they can make money, especially in the college speaking market, and James is our resident expert on that. He's been called the king of the college speaking market, and he has taught numerous authors, coaches, consultants, trainers, aspiring, beginning, and experienced speakers how to take their message to the college market and literally make a ton of money. He's been named the two-time College Speaker of the Year. He's spoken at over 1,500 colleges, and he makes more money speaking in a month than many speakers make in an entire year. And I actually just saw him on a television show with Joan Rivers where he said that he made over $1 million, and I think it was an hour or so, which is not something that a lot of speakers can say they have done. But James definitely knows what he's talking about, and he is going to share with you some ideas and some strategies for making money in the college market, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Welcome to our show, James.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Look forward to helping all the great people that you're helping and giving them some ideas for the college market.
Well, it amazes me every time how many people call in to listen to you and ask you questions, because we do go over this really a couple times a year, and you just have so much information to share. We can never get all of it. There's always new things that you have to share with us also, and it's something that really works. I think that a lot of people come to hear what you have to say again because not only have they realize that you know what you're talking about, but you've actually helped them in getting jobs speaking in the college market, and they just want to know more. What can they be doing better, differently? What do they need to be doing today to keep up with everything? So, but before we begin today, before we get into all the questions, I want to make sure that we know where we're headed with the call today. Can you tell us what the objective is for today's call? What do you really want to get across to the people listening today?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. I mean, you're so kind. You put me on so many times to help your folks. I really appreciate it, and I love Speaker Match, and, you know, I'm one of the biggest cheerleaders of Speaker Match. I think you're doing great stuff, and anybody who's not a part of Speaker Match, you just got to be a part of it because you guys just do great services for people, and you bring us what we all need, which are leads. So first, thanks for having me on, and what I really want to get across to everybody is that you have been missing out on one of the greatest, most overlooked, most untapped, most lucrative opportunities of your entire speaking, writing, coaching, infopreneuring, internet, whatever business you're doing. You're missing out on one of the greatest opportunities, and that is taking your message, your story, your experience, your talents, your gifts to the college speaking market. And I'm just kind of on this mission to get people to stop missing out and losing out on literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, and for some folks, maybe even millions of dollars that they don't even realize they're missing out on. And that's kind of what I like to get across, because it is a blessing that I've been able to help so many kids and faculty members and community members, and that I've actually been paid very well to do it. So I just want to stop people from missing out on these opportunities.
You know, it's something that we've been talking a lot about here, is that even in this down economy, mm-hmm. there is still a lot of money out there. There's a lot of people that are bringing speakers in. There's a lot of people that are paying for speakers, and there's lots of ways for speakers to make money. Even if you're just getting started, there is money there.
Oh, I mean, gosh, I haven't been busier. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I am as busy now as I have been in previous years with speaking, not only to colleges, but for corporations as well. And I think that anybody not doing speaking right now, with what's going on in the economy, because most speakers stop marketing because, first of all, I choose not to participate in down economies. And I want everybody listening, you know, you are the creator of your own destiny, and you make or break your own career. It does not matter what is happening in the economy. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but the college market is one of the absolute best, most recession-proof niches for speaking there is.
I think it helps if you tell everybody a little bit about where you came from and how you got started speaking, not only in the college market, but in general.
Yeah, well, you know, and this is important. So anyone listening, especially if you're just kind of getting started speaking or you're thinking about getting into speaking, this is something I think is critical for you to know. And this is kind of a little bonus for you. One thing you have to do, I learned this from a coaching member of mine. I have a platinum coaching member named Jonathan Sprinkles. I have a coaching club. It's pretty expensive what I do for folks. I have three levels. One's $15,000 a year, another's $47,000 a year, and another's $100,000 a year. And Jonathan has been one of my coaching members, I think, about 4 years. He's come to 23 of my college speaking success boot camps. He's one of the most successful speakers out there right now, in my opinion, on the college circuit. And he taught me something that really changed my whole life and impacted my career. Sometimes the student teaches you, you know. And Jonathan says, no audience will ever hear you until they know you. So for anyone listening, as a little bonus here, make sure at the beginning of any teleseminar or any live presentation you do for college kids, youth groups, corporations, associations, whomever, make sure you always tell a little bit about how you got from where you were to where you are today. And that's how you got to be speaking there, because the audience has to connect with you first before they'll ever listen to your information. So with that little bonus out of the way, my story, Brian, is, as you know, is so much different than everybody else's. I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to be a speaker. I didn't even know that the speaking market existed. I didn't know that they paid us. You know, I grew up in a very small steel mill town back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, population about 6,000 people. We didn't have much growing up. My mom was a housewife. My dad worked in the steel mill for 30-some years. Never made more than $29,000 a year working in a steel mill, and that's not to disparage my dad or anything like that, but I grew up with this mindset that you couldn't be wealthy because of where you came from, or you couldn't do certain goals and dreams. So make a long story short, when I was in college, I got hired for a position 3 months before graduation with the company I wanted to be with in the city I wanted to live in. And it hit me one day, man, there needs to be a book like this for college kids. Because the uniqueness about my book was that I was a C student and I beat out 74 candidates for this really cool position. So I thought, man, how many kids are told that they can't do a dream or a goal or have grown up with that poverty type mindset like I grew up with and really don't believe they could do it because of that or that they've been told that? So I said, you know what, man, there needs to be this book out there for these kids, and I'm going to write the book, because I couldn't find anything that was like this, that was like the realities and written by somebody like them. So I said, man, I'm going to write the book. But then here we go. Here's that poverty mindset again, talking like, how are you going to write a book? You failed English class, you know. So I said, you know what, screw that. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to help these kids. And I didn't know anything about writing a book. It took me about 3 years to write a book because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have gurus or marketing mentors that helped me learn the self-publishing route. And long story short, I eventually got the book, and the book is called From College to the Real World, Street Smart Strategies for Landing Your Dream Job and Creating a Successful Future. And I did the book, and I was so jazzed up and so fired up, but then, Brian, a revelation happened. The bill showed up.
Bill for to have all those books published.
So to have the books printed, yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I realized something, that Mr. MasterCard and Mrs. American Express didn't care that I had a mission and I had a dream and I had a good heart and wanted to help people. So I thought, shoot, what am I going to do? I mean, I got like $3,000 worth of bills I got to pay. I don't have the money. I mean, you know, but I got a good heart and I want to inspire people and make a positive difference in the lives of young people. So I thought, well, let's see. It's a book for college kids. I wonder, and I remembered back into college, we would every now and then, like, we'd have a guest speaker in one of our classes. So I thought, man, maybe I can go and speak to some of these classes and maybe some of the kids will want to buy my book. And, you know, maybe I'll sell some books and I can pay down this $3,000 bill. Well,
and how long do you think that was going to take? How much per book? And
you know, honestly, at that point, I was selling them at $10 a book.
Uh-huh.
So I never even thought that far ahead, like to get a calculator and figure how many talks I had to do or how many books. You know, I was just I was doing this all by the seat of my pants, to be honest, because I was working a full-time job. Which I wasn't making much money, but I was like, God, I got to get rid of these books and pay this bill because I was all jazzed. But then when that bill showed up, I'm like, you know, this is the reality of self-publishing here. Right? So I started just picking up the phone book and calling schools in Southern California. And, man, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was calling, like, the janitor. You know, I was calling, like, the librarian.
Anybody whose number you could find.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you call the central number, and they connect you to someone, right?
This was probably before the Internet also, so it wasn't
that
easy to find somebody.
Oh, exactly, way before the Internet. So finally, I got connected to a professor somehow, and he, as soon as he found out that I did this book, he's like, oh, man, why don't you come in and talk to my class? So I went in and talked to the guy's class. I think there were about 25 kids there roughly, and 10 of them bought my book for 10 bucks a piece. And I'm not kidding you. I went out into the bathroom outside, and I looked under the stalls, and there were nobody sitting there, so I started jumping up and down because I couldn't believe I made 100 bucks.
Not bad.
Then I did what you said. I got my calculator out, and I started, oh, man, if I do this 50 times a year, I'm rich. Right? Well, I did it about 70 to 80 times for free, never knowing that you could get paid. And to kind of round it out, a guy came up to me after doing one of these paid talks, and he said, hey, I'm the coordinator, one of the coordinators here at the school. I really liked your talk that you just gave to the kids. Do you know that we actually pay people to come in and do what you just did for free? And I was like, man, why didn't you tell me before? I would have charged you.
You're also probably thinking you pay people, but not people like me.
Yeah, oh, my God, absolutely. You know, I joke and say I would have charged you, but honestly, in my mind, I had never even thought it because I didn't know they paid speakers. And once he told me that, that was the turning point. And I'm the kind of guy, you don't have to hit me in the head with a 2x4 twice. I catch it the first time, and I said, man, if this is true, let me go and learn as much as I can about this market. And I did. And there were no mentors around when I started, so I sort of I'm the pioneer of packaging this all up and teaching it to others because nobody was around to help me back then. I just did it by trial and error. I remember one time it got up to about $50,000 total that I lost doing everything the wrong way. And to kind of end this whole story, I started speaking at colleges. My first paid talk was $200. And because I didn't know how to charge and all that. Then it went to $600, and then it went to $1,800, then it went to $2,500, and this is for like a 45-minute speech. And then it went to $3,300, and then to $35,000, and then $4,000, and then $4,500, and then it got up to $7,500. And right now my fee to go to a school is $10,000 for the same talk that I was doing on that same book. I mean, literally 8-9 years ago, and I've been blessed to speak at over 1,500 colleges and universities, helped a lot of kids, a lot of faculty members, a lot of community folks, and like you mentioned, with 2-time College Speaker of the Year, co-author of the book Chicken Soup for the College Soul, the best-selling book, and when I was doing it just full-time, when I got it cranking, I was pulling in $100,000 a month speaking at colleges, a month.
Wow.
So that's kind of my story, and then great people like yourself and Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and other folks asked me to come on teleseminars and asked me to speak at their seminars to basically share the information, and that's how we got together and done all these calls for your people.
And about how long ago did you get started in this?
My first actual paid talk, I would say would be, let me see here, probably about 12 years ago. Maybe now, actually, probably about 13 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, my first actual where I got a check from a school.
So I think that it helps for people to know that you're teaching this stuff based on relatively current information. I mean, you're still out there doing this.
Oh, my God.
You're talking about what's working right now. You're not somebody that did this 30 years ago and is talking about the way that people used to do it way back when. You've stayed up with the times, and you're able to share with people what's working now. Plus, you have students who are out there getting started. You hear about their experiences, and you're able to incorporate that into the information that you're sharing with others.
Absolutely.
You couldn't be more current.
Absolutely. The month of August just passed. I did 6 college talks in August. And the average speaking fee, if you average the fees out, because some schools I've been going to for years, so I still give them the lower rate. You know, I don't raise fees on good clients, if you will. And my average fee for these 6 schools in August came out to an average of $6,500 per school. You know, some were lower, some were higher. But the average, when I figured it out, was $6,500 for the month of August. Well, I mean, shoot, just take out a calculator, 6,500 times 6 schools is $39,000 at 6 schools, and that doesn't even count back-of-the-room sales of my books and CDs.
One of the things that you mentioned was that you had no idea that colleges paid for people to come and speak, and I think that's one of the common misconceptions that people have, is that there's a lot of people that are speaking to colleges, but they're not making any money.
Sure.
What are some of the common misconceptions that people have about speaking in the college and university market?
Well, there are about 7 that I came up with, okay? And the first one is that you actually have to be famous. And nothing could be further from the truth. You know, you mentioned that I had this short little thing on Joan Rivers' TV show, How'd You Get So Rich? And, you know, that actually, and I'll tell you, it was a short clip. We filmed for 4 hours, and they used about 20 seconds of it, which was totally disappointing, you know, because the way they were talking and is like, oh, I was going to be one of the featured people. But anyway, let me just share with you something. The 20 seconds led to 4 speaking engagements and led to me speaking with arguably the number one television producer out there for reality shows about my own reality show for 2010. So does being famous help? Yeah, but you don't have to be famous for the college market. That's the cool thing. It's not about being famous in order to get paid to speak in the college market. It's about having a message that will impact the students. And then some folks on this line will be speaking to faculty because their message is better for them. Some will speak for parents. Some will speak for the community. Some will speak for all 4 demographics. But the cool thing is it has nothing to do with being famous. All these talks that I've done over the years had everything to do with one thing. I had a message that was helping these folks, and it matched perfectly for the kids or the parents or the faculty. And then here's the key, that I got to the people who have the money and got them to give it to me. So it had nothing to do with, you know, cover of a magazine or being famous on TV. So please forget that. If you think it's about being famous, that has nothing to do with it. The second myth, and this is a big one, people will always come up to me and ask me, like if I speak at an event somewhere, hey, you know, I got this book or I got this message or I got this desire to help people in the college market, but I just don't have the credentials, you know. I don't have a higher academic degree like a master's or a PhD, and I always stop them and I say, hey, no worries, neither do I. See, I don't have a master's, I don't have a PhD, and I have no speaking certifications from any speaker associations whatsoever, and I promise you I'm never going to win any ribbon in any speech contest. Now, I don't say that to disparage anybody who has a degree or who has some certification. I just say it to prove that you don't need it. You know, I don't have any of those things, and I tell you that I've made more money delivering my message on the college market in a month than most people make in a year. And it just goes to show that you don't have to have those credentials in order to take your great, inspiring message to the college market. So don't let that stop you, that you don't have a master's or you don't have a PhD. One of the things I like to say when I do my college speaking success boot camp is, look, I only care that you learn this stuff and you get 1 degree, and that's an MBA, a massive bank account. So the credential question is something that holds people back. You don't need it. I could tell you so many different college speakers who never went to college even, who have a great message, and they're out there delivering it and getting paid for that great message. Myth number three is that there's too much competition. Well, it doesn't really matter almost how many speakers there are, and there aren't a ton of speakers. Okay, check this out. The last time I actually checked, there were about 4,200 colleges, and that means two-year schools and four-year schools. And I have figured out that there are roughly about 16 to 17 departments at every school who actually have budgets to bring in speakers, authors, trainers, coaches, consultants, comedians, hypnotists, mentalists, bands. So let's just play. Let's just say it were 15 to make it an even number. If you take 4,200 colleges and universities and you multiply those by 15 different departments, the number, Brian, that you come out with is 63,000 speaking opportunities a year.
Now, let's go over those numbers again. 63,000. How did you come up with that again?
Okay, if there are roughly 4,200 four-year and two-year schools in America,
okay,
there's roughly 4,200, and there are, let's say, on average, 15 departments that I have found, different departments, segments of the college market, who have budgets to bring in folks, like speakers, office trainers, coaches, consultants. Okay, if you multiply 4,200 colleges and universities by 15 departments at each one, you come out with 63,000 different opportunities where money is.
And that's if they have one speaking opportunity a year.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's just if they have one. I didn't even think about that. Actually, I mean, I know a school like Florida State University. Florida State brings in two or three speakers every week. Okay, so, yeah, you take some of those schools like that, and I didn't even think about it. So this number is actually much higher. It's probably about 80,000 to 90,000, maybe 100,000 opportunities. Well, heck, you only need one or two a month, right?
There are not 90,000 speakers out there either.
Oh, my gosh. I could never personally – I mean, yeah, exactly. And I've done 1,500 some talks at schools, and I could never possibly reach all the departments at all the schools. I mean, I've done 1,500. Okay, so there, people say, well, there's too much competition. No, there's not. When you just run the numbers, the valid numbers, you can see why it's such a great market. Myth number four is that you have to be a great speaker. And this is one that holds people up because, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm not a great speaker. And I said, look, I am not a great speaker either. Best piece of speaking advice I'd ever heard was from Lou Holtz, the former football coach of Notre Dame in South Carolina. Mr. Holtz was speaking to like 3,000 quote-unquote professional speakers in the National Speakers Association. And Mr. Holtz got up there and he said, all speaking is you have something to say that will inspire and help people, and you stand up and you say it to inspire and help them. And he went on to say, look, man, I don't worry about my hands and that I have my hand in my pocket or I speak with a lisp. I have a message that helps people, and I say it to help people. And when I heard him say that, Brian, I said, man, that guy's right. And that was liberating for me because I used to listen to all those people that would say, you know, a bunch of crap like you got to walk in a V and you got to use hand gestures and you got to look at every audience member 37 times, you know. And I used to do that stuff. And I was so robotic and so uncomfortable and so nervous that I would actually forget what the heck I was supposed to say. And so it's not about being a great speaker when it comes to taking your message to the college market. I don't believe that at all. I believe it's you got something that will help people, and by golly, you just stand up and you tell it to them so it helps them. Okay? Myth number five is that it takes hard work to get going to make six or seven figures, especially if you're just starting out. That's a question I get all the time. Hey, James, you know, I like it. You know, this is great stuff. I want to learn more, or, you know, I'm thinking about coming to your boot camp, or I'm whatever, whatever, whatever. But you know what? I'm just starting out. You know, is it hard to get going? And my answer is always, well, of course it is, if you don't know the right way to do it. But it's like anything. Getting speaker leads is hard if I don't work with Speaker Match. You know, starting a dry cleaning business is hard if I don't learn how to start a dry cleaning business the wrong way. That's why when people hang their shield and open their door for a dry cleaning business or grocery store or whatever, they usually go broke within 12 to 18 months, according to small business statistics, because they never learned how to do it. They just jumped into it. You know, so it's not about working hard to get going in your college speaking career, and it's not even about working smart. It's about working right. You got to do the right thing. You got to have the right message that matches and gets to the right people that they who have the money and given at the right time. It's like what one of our mentors, yours and mine, Brian, Dan Kennedy, always says: message, market, media. You get the right message delivered to the right market, delivered in the right media, the way they like to get it. You know, and I like to add on at the right time. So it's not hard to get going. And if you know the right way to do it, and that's kind of what some of the stuff we're covering on this call. I got two more quick myths that people usually ask me about, Brian. Are we okay?
We're okay on time.
Okay. Here is the big one. James, there's no money in the college speaking market. For years, people in certain speaker associations and speaker groups would come up to me and say, yeah, you know, man, I'd like to take my message to the college market. And this was before I actually started teaching it. I was just kind of one of those underground guys out there doing it. People would come up and say, man, I'd like to do it, but man, there's just no money. And for years, I would say, well, yeah, you know, you're probably right. And I would just keep on keeping on. Because I knew there was money. I just knew where it was because I found it all because I had to figure it out for myself when I was starting. Okay, let me explain, Brian, to everybody listening why there's money. Because if everybody gets this, man, the whole college market makes sense. And everybody on this call will immediately want to start doing the college market and taking their message there, even if you're just starting out. Check this out. Now, Brian, you went to the University of Texas, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, you went to Texas. I started by going to the University of Cincinnati for basketball, and then I transferred and went to the University of Hawaii. No matter anyone listening on this call, no matter where you went to college, you, Brian, myself, every student out there today, and by the way, when I say this example, Brian, everybody will know why the college market is recession-proof because there's always money there every year. When we go to college, when every student goes to college, there's something they pay called an activities fee. Now, this activities fee, so if you're taking notes, write that down, activities fee. This activities fee can be $20, could be $50, could be $100. It depends on the school. The activities fee could be charged once a year, or it could be charged per semester. Again, every school is different. I haven't found like an across-the-board, you know, pretty much this is how they do it. It's all over the board. So some charge 20, some charge 75, some charge 50, some charge 100. I just found a school charges $200 per year for every student who goes there. Okay, so play this out. Let's say, for the sake of an example, so everybody can understand it, there are 10,000 students at a school. And let's say that the activities fee is $50. Well, if you multiply 10,000 students by $50, that comes out to $500,000 coming in every year or every semester, depending on the school, just on the activities fee alone. Now, here's the cool thing about the activities fee. Nobody gets away from paying it. It's like when you go to a resort, you always get hit with that like $10 or $20 resort fee. Everybody gets hit with it. Nobody escapes it. So it doesn't matter if a student is on scholarship, financial aid, if mom and dad's paying, or if the student is working two or three jobs to pay their bill. It doesn't matter. If they got loans, whoever it is, that activities fee gets paid every single year or every semester, and the kids don't even see it because it's just wrapped up into one big bill. But it is like a little piece of that bill. There are different pieces of the bill, like for dormitory and rooms and for like meal plans. Well, this is one of those fees, an activities fee. Well, let's say the activity fee is $100 and you got 10,000 kids. You got $1 million budget every semester or every year, depending on the school. And that doesn't even count alumni donations, certain state and federal funding that's coming in, Okay, so when people say there's no money in the college market, you know, I just look at them with amazement, and I realize that they have no clue what they're talking about, because if you just understand the whole activities fee alone, you'll see that there's money coming in. Brian, let me give you just a quick example.
Okay.
I'll give you two examples. I was recently speaking at Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York. I did a little talk. There were about 70 or 80 kids there. My speaker fee at that talk at the time was $5,500. Okay. I went out to dinner with the coordinator after, and I asked him, I said, hey Roy, how many students go to Syracuse? He said, 18,000. I said, what is your activities fee? He said, $75 per kid. That's $1.35 million, Brian. And then he said, next year, we're doubling it to $150. They got $2.7 million coming in. Now, do you understand how this it's every year? Because kids, I don't care what happens in the economy, kids will always, always, always go to school. People who get downsized from companies will go back to school. Okay, and every time someone goes to school, that activities fee is getting paid by those kids. Okay, does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. I remember paying that, and it was a small fee, but you know, I'm thinking University of Texas has 51,000 students now.
Wow.
So
51,000, and let's say the activities fee was $50. I mean, that's $2.5 million. No, that can't be right. Yeah, exactly. Just University of Texas, $2.55 million.
And I'm sure it's a lot more than $50.
Oh, yeah, especially the big school. Now, here's a cool thing, too, because I get this asked all the time. James, yeah, I get it. I get the activities fee and all that, and I get how much revenue there is for bringing in speakers, but what about the small schools? Man, I'll tell you what, small schools are better than the bigger schools, and here's why. The small schools, they so appreciate their programming. I speak at William Woods University in Fulton, Missouri. I've been going there for probably about 5 years now. They have only 1,200 kids there. Brian, it's the coolest thing. Now, it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's like in the woods. And every time I go there, there are 800 kids out of the 1,200 that come to the talk.
Wow.
So if you got a book, and let's say, you know, if you have a good evening, and let's say out of the 800 kids, right, let's say just 20% of those students buy your $10 book. That's 160 students, and that's only if 20% times your $10 book, you just made an extra $1,600. Okay, so, you know, small schools are fantastic. I go to Des Moines Area Community College every spring to do my career program from college to the real world. I've been going there now. I think next year will be the ninth year. Okay, and every time I go there, it's a small school up in Ankeny, Iowa. We get 500 kids, and here's the crazy thing about it. It's a commuter school. It's all the kids commute, so it's really awesome. Here's the second scenario, just to pound this thing home about the money, because if you catch this, man, you're just missing out on not taking your message if you understand this. When the unfortunate September 11th tragedy happened, I was flying to speak at Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida. The talk that evening at Florida State was canceled, obviously, because that was September 11th. But the talks for the remaining part of September were not canceled. And while a lot of corporate budgets got cut and consulting contracts, if you're a consultant, your budget probably got cut. My talks, other than the one at Florida State, my talks for the rest of September did not get canceled. And I took home over $40,000 in the remaining 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks from the talks that I spoke at on college campuses. Now, think about that. The whole speaking world was in disarray because of September 11th and flights canceled and budgets being cut and meetings cut, and I took home over $40,000 in the month of September when the tragedies happened because of me speaking my message on the college market. That's why I say it's recession-proof.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people talking about, you know, meetings being canceled and things like that. But on college, the kids are still going to college, and they still have these programs going on.
Now, related to today, Isn't it a similar situation?
Absolutely.
Meetings being canceled, companies, you know, pulling back. If you speak in the company market, the corporation market, it's the same thing for colleges, though. That money is still there. That money's still there to pay you. And if you aren't taking your message to the college market, here's the scenario. You might as well just visualize this. Go into your bank account, pull out your life savings, go into the middle of the street, put it down, dump some lighter fluid on, and set it on fire, because that's what you're doing by not speaking in the college market with your message. And, Brian, just to wrap this up, number seven here. I'm sorry, I get long-winded, but I love this stuff. I want people to get it. Number seven is that the seventh myth is money is bad. And here's what I mean by this. I grew up in the speaking business, if you will, believing that I should just share my message and impact the world, and I shouldn't, I feel bad, I'm a bad person if I get paid for that. And nothing could be further from the truth. Okay, we are no different than a doctor that helps someone and gets compensated. We are no different than, maybe a lawyer that helps keep you out of legal trouble, or a financial planner that helps keep you on track to pay your retirement account every month so that you can live, debt-free as you grow older. See, we are delivering a message to college kids that impacts them, that might get them off of drugs, that might get their career going in the right path, that might get their life on purpose, that might whatever, fill in the blank, get them in shape if you're a health type speaker. And here's the key thing I want everybody to catch. When you do that and you are making an impact in someone's life like this, with your speaking, with your intellectual property, with what you know, your experience, your story, your background, your knowledge, you deserve to be appropriately and highly compensated for the great work you are doing in this world. And there is no reason that you don't deserve to be compensated for delivering that fantastic message you got.
We do have some people that have joined us over the past few minutes, actually. I just want to let them know we're listening. You're listening to A Call with James Malinchak. And more information about James is available at speakermatch.com/college speaking. That's the easiest thing to do. speakermatch.com/college speaking. James, I want to be sure that we cover the material that we promised that we'd cover on this call. Got a lot to go. We got about 20 minutes or so left.
Okay.
One of the I think probably the best place to move to right now is talking. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess, what you would do to get started as a college speaker. What's the best thing you do to get started quickly and make the most money in the least amount of time?
Yeah, there you go. While conquering the universe, how about we throw that on
there
too?
We go.
Well, I think there are really three keys, and to make this simplistic for everybody, this is what I believe is the success to speaking in general, but I know for sure the college market. Number one is you have your mission of what you want to do in order to help people. And in this case, college students, faculty members, that sort of thing. Okay, the one thing I always hear, Brian, is, I got this mission and I want to change the world. I want to help people. I'm like, that's fantastic. But that doesn't mean you're going to make any money. Because that's how I grew up thinking in the speaking business, right? Got this mission, want to help people. I'm going to change the world. Well, that's great, but just because I have that doesn't mean that I'm going to make any money at it. Now, the key to your mission, really, and your whole speech, and the key to your speaking is your story, okay? And what kind of story do you have? What kind of information in your talk, your experience, your qualifications do you have? See, so you got to actually, you got to take your mission, but you got to actually have information that they want to book, which is very critical, because a lot of folks say, I got this great topic that I want to take to the college market. And they say, because students need to hear this. And I say, well, that's great and that's fantastic, but the only problem is they don't book that topic. But no, students need to hear this. I get it. I'm with you. Doesn't mean that they give money for it. Okay? So that's what's really critical, Brian, is that you can't think that just because you have a great, fantastic story and you have a mission that they want to book it and give money for that particular topic. Okay, so it's got to be created into something that they give money for, packaged in the right way. Okay, the second thing to getting off to a fast start is you really got to understand that there's two sides to college speaking, and a lot of folks don't get this. Okay, the one side, you got that first part we talked about, the mission and your story and the stuff you're going to teach, you know, whatever the topic is. That's very important. But then the second side, you got to understand that this is a business, and we are running a business, and it's no different than any other kind of business that you run. And there are certain things that you do that get you bookings. There are certain things you don't do that don't get you bookings. There are certain times a year that you market for college talks. There are certain times you don't because nobody's ever in when they try to market at that time. There are certain topics that they book, certain topics they don't want to book. There are certain kind of speakers they like to have, certain kind of speakers they don't want to have. So you got to understand the business side of speaking. One of the cool things about the business side that I love is that it's almost like a guaranteed income stream, because you could actually get yourself rebooked over and over and over again. And one of the best times to do that, if you understand the college market, so if you're taking notes, write this down, is August and September, and like mid-January through the end of February, because here's why. A lot of schools do what's called orientation. Okay, and orientation is where they bring in all the new kids, and this is where they get them oriented, if you will, oriented to the school and accustomed to the school, and they always bring in a ton of speakers on different topics for orientation. So, okay, kind of recap. Number one is the mission and your story and what you're going to present and, you know, how you're going to present it. Number two is the business side of it. Who books, when they book, what topics do they book, you know, what's the best time to contact these folks, how do you contact them, how do you not contact them, and then the third part, which I think is critical, which I wish I would have known back then, and this is kind of one of the purposes of this call, is you got to have a bridge between the two, and basically the bridge is the plan and the strategy for how you go from where you are with your great passion and your mission, and assuming that you work to hone it to where they want to book it, and then you understand the whole business thing, walk over that bridge, understand the business side of it and how to really get your message out and do it the right way, and therefore, boom, you are virtually, I don't want to say guaranteed, but you're on a good path of doing extremely well financially. So I always say it's the mission, it's the money, and then the bridge.
James, one of the things that I always talk about is how important it is to have a great mentor if you want to move ahead quickly in any particular field. It's important to follow a proven, time-tested system.
Absolutely.
So you don't waste a lot of time and money. And you have one of the best speaker boot camps out there by far. And everybody should know I go to this every year. I'm at James's events. He's talking about speaking in the college market and creating or running a successful speaking business in general. Can you tell everybody just a little bit about your speaker boot camps? I know you have one coming up soon, right?
Oh, my gosh. It is just the best there is.
I mean, it's gotten better, I know.
I'll wait till you hear what we got planned for this one. The next one's December 3rd through the 6th in Los Angeles, and I do them every 6 months. So the one after that is May, I believe it's 12th through the 15th in Las Vegas. I want everybody to come. There's no reason why you should be not taking your message to the college market. And, man, we cover everything A to Z, soup to nuts. I give you a big binder. I'm actually looking at it right now. I give you a big binder that has sample marketing pieces. We walk through everything from who the key people are at colleges. I break it down one by one, all those like 15-some departments. I tell you who they are, when they book, how you reach them the cheapest way, the easiest way, the most effective way, and give you sample materials to guide you along for your own marketing materials. Talk a little bit about website effectiveness and how to get people to find you on the web. And we cover that A to Z. But I also threw in, Brian, how to make big money speaking for corporations and associations and youth groups. So we throw that in too. So like on day 2 and 3, we cover all that stuff. I give you a different manual. The manuals are thick. They're probably about 200-300 pages, and we cover all that stuff. and we walk you through how to do the exact same thing, but for youth groups and for corporations and associations, and I teach you about developing your uniqueness. I show you how to brand yourself, make yourself stand out from everybody else, how to offer your stuff with your uniqueness so that you beat out others who may be talking on similar topics, and it is just killer and kick butt. And actually, Brian, if they go to that special speaker match web domain you have, they're going to get a couple special offers. So you want to give that again?
Yeah, it's speakermatch.com/college speaking.
Oh, okay, cool. Check this out. Can I just tell a couple bonuses?
Absolutely.
All right, so check this out. If you've ever wanted to meet Jack Canfield, the co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul, the star of the movie The Secret, and the author of one of the Bibles on success, The Success Principles, then Jack is coming as a favor to me to be one of my guest speakers, because we've known each other a long time, and I've actually helped Jack with his seminar promotion. He hired me to coach him with his seminar promotion and how to sell more of his products. Jack's coming as one of my guest speakers. So check this out. If you ever wanted to get like a testimonial for a book or a brochure or a website from Jack, this is the place to be, because he's going to be right there. He comes in, he speaks, he hangs out, he takes pictures of people, he talks to people. Okay, so Jack will be there as a bonus. Check this out. Bonus number two, if anybody likes sports, you might remember a guy named Joe Theismann. He used to play for the Washington Redskins. He's a Super Bowl champion quarterback. He's former ESPN football analyst. You might remember him for the guy who got his leg broken in half on Monday Night Football by Lawrence Taylor on ABC Monday Night Football. Joe has been a buddy of mine for 15-some years. I got Joe coming in as a speaker, too, because Joe does a lot of speaking for corporations and colleges and universities. So he's coming in as a favor to me to be one of our guest speakers. And then, and I can't share it yet, but I've got a secret Hollywood mystery guest coming in. And this person has been on TV many, many times. He actually, 2 weeks from now, is going to be on CNN 15 times. He's one of the most connected people in Hollywood that I know, and I'm talking with working with people like Britney Spears. I don't want to give it away, but he's working a lot more with a lot of big people in Hollywood. He's one of the main people. He's always on television, and he's coming in as a special third guest speaker for me, because I always like to bring in some celebs and liven it up and make it cool where you get pictures and all that kind of stuff. So December 3rd through the 6th, man, you ought to be there. The registration fee it's expensive. It's $4,997. However, if you go to Brian's special link that we set up, then you get to come. If you register before September 30th, you will save over $2,800, and you can come for just $1,997, and you can bring a guest for free. So if you and your partner, your guest, split it, why don't you? I mean, it's literally $1,000, less than $1,000 for all 4 days for you, and $1,000 for your partner, and you get all this cool stuff, and I will teach you everything you need to know.
There's one other thing that Speaker Match members should know. If you are a Speaker Match Platinum member, if you're an annual member for Speaker Match, you get a $250 travel expense reimbursement.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yep, that is a special we have. It's part of your membership fee. If you want to go to this event, we give a $250 in travel expense reimbursement.
Oh, wow, cool. And yeah, if you want to lock in this rate and you cannot come to the December 3rd through 6th Los Angeles boot camp, and I want you there. I mean, I will change your whole business and you'll make some money delivering your message. If you can't come, then we do our next one in May in Las Vegas, and that will be May 13th through the 16th. And you can lock in now and come in May. If you can't come in May, lock in now and come next December. I do them every 6 months. And, Brian, we're going to have like 350 to 400 people at this one in December. So the networking is off the charts.
The biggest jet. And I'm telling you, if you go to this event, it's guaranteed you will leave that event with information that will help you recoup your investment very quickly. It's just, he has is just packed with great information. And the material you walk away with is great, too, the materials that you actually get to take home with you.
And you'll meet some of the most successful college speakers because they come to my training. And these celebrity folks, as a matter of fact, here's something I just thought of, Brian. If you get one talk for $2,000, you paid for the whole dang thing. But if you split it with a friend of yours and you only paid $9.97, they paid $9.97, heck, you get one talk at $2,000, you're now making money. But you got the information forever. I just think you got to be there, man. That's why it's just the best thing out there, because we just crank it and we got so many cool people that come and you meet them and you're there and you got friendships and connections for life.
Yeah. And with the Speaker Match travel reimbursement,
heck yeah.
If you're a platinum member, it may not even cost you anything to get out there.
Hey, would
maybe,
that
maybe
would
your
that,
hotel is covered? So.
Would that qualify for me too? Like, can I get the voucher for me to fly down?
That would be great. If you're a Speaker Match annual member, James, I have taken a lot of time. I got you off track by asking you about this event. I don't want to run out of time.
Yeah,
would it be okay if I keep you over a little bit?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Let's teach them. Let's give them some good stuff. So even if they don't come, to the real 4-day training, that we give them some stuff that will help them for sure.
All right. One of the most important things that I want to make sure we get covered is what topics are most in demand and why.
Ah, the magic question. Okay, if you have a pen or a pencil, please, sharpen it or get ready because, boy, I tell you, we're going to run through a whole bunch here. Okay, ready? And these are in no particular order, okay? So don't think like number one's more important than number like 20. Just these are no particular order, and here's what I want you to do. Your job as you are listening to these is to think where your story or your message or your topic is going to fit, because I really call these, Brian, I call them like categories. Okay, so everybody kind of think that way. Okay, first one is anything to do with leadership as a keynote, meaning a keynote talk means about 45 minutes, maybe 60-minute type program, could be 30-minute. That's a keynote, okay, like a leadership motivational type talk. The second one is a leadership training. Now, remember, these are in no particular order, so it doesn't mean like leadership's more important than anything I'm going to mention later, okay? Leadership training, because some of you might like to do training more than like the leadership keynote. I'm more of a leadership keynote type of guy. You might be more of a trainer where you're working hands-on with people. You may like to do longer trainings. One's not right, one's not wrong. It's whatever fits you better. Okay, third one is anything dealing with diversity. You may have a student who grew up on a farm in Nebraska who's now living in a dormitory room with a student who grew up in the inner city of Chicago. Okay, now they're thrust into a dormitory room. They have different beliefs, different opinions. One's not right, one's not wrong, but how do they now get along? How do they respect the diversity that each one brings? Diversity is a huge topic on the college circuit. Okay, number four, Black History Month. And here's a neat thing. You do not need to be African American to speak during Black History Month. What's amazing about this is there are certain demographic student groups on campus. So like within the college market, there are these sub-niches who have budgets to bring you in for certain events or certain times of the year. Well, like Black History Month in February is a similar type of thing where they will bring you in to speak to a certain demographic of students or at a certain event to present your topic. You don't need to be African American to do it. It's just that it's one group on campus that has budgets to do that for the African-American population of the campus. Okay, kind of goes into the next one, which is number five, which is fraternities and sororities. Okay, the topic is anything related to fraternities and sororities, the Greek-related topics. And what I mean by that, fraternities and sororities are their own special sub-niche of the college market, where they also have budgets and money to bring you in just to talk to the fraternity and sorority students, okay? So it's not open to, like, the other students on campus, but it's just for them. Could be for all the male students, could be for all the female, could be all fraternity, all sorority, could be a mixture. Okay. Let me give you a couple ideas on Greek-related topics. Could be something like hazing. What happens if we initiate students into our fraternity or sorority? How does that harm our charter? How does that harm our chapter? Another one could be anything dealing with actually any of the topics we're going to get to cover, which is like drug awareness, alcohol awareness, leadership, team building. How do we build an organization? How do we build a chapter? Because fraternities and sororities are doing that. How do we communicate? How do we retain and how do we attract and retain members to our fraternity and sorority? So if you have a topic, if you were in a fraternity or a sorority when you were in school and you have like one of these topics, then you would be an ideal person to speak for college, fraternity, and sorority groups. Okay, number six is anything dealing with date rape or sexual assault. Okay, this is a very, very big topic on the college and university campuses because this unfortunately happens all the time. I have a friend who's a professor, and I asked him one day, I said, how many kids do you all have on your campus where it comes forward that they, you know, they went through some sort of date rape or sexual assault challenge? And he said to me, and I was shocked, he said, man, James, last year we had eight reported in the first week of school. And he said, those are only the ones that came forth. He said, that's not even counting the remainder of school. And I was like, wow. Well, it's such a big problem. So if you have any type of program that relates to that, then you are very bookable for the college market. Okay, number seven is anything dealing with ethnic-related background, because there are a lot of different ethnic groups on the college campuses. So if you have a topic that's related to certain ways you interact with different ethnic groups, or if you decide to go to another country to study abroad, here's how you would act in different countries. I mean, that's becoming a very big topic now. Okay, the next one, number eight, I believe, is anything dealing with careers. Okay, this is a big one for me because I wrote the book From College to the Real World, which is self-published. So I teach students how to land their dream job. So if you have anything related to careers, then this is a great avenue for you. Okay, next one is anything dealing with sexual education. Now, this is a lot different, Brian, than sexual assault. Okay, sexual education. I have a friend, Jay Friedman, out of Seattle. He is a sex therapist, and he thought one day, you know, college kids need to know a lot of this stuff, so check this out. Part-time, he put together part-time a talk for college kids, and it's called Sex Matters, and he educates them, and he teaches them things like which questions do you ask when you get into a relationship with someone new or if you meet someone at a party, how do you apply a condom properly, what happens if you attract a sexually transmitted disease, where do you go on your campus to get help, you know, so it's really a great educational program. Check this out. He goes out for $5,000 a speech. He does only 30 a year because he does full-time his practice, so he's a part-time speaker. That's $150,000 a year, Brian. I mean, how many $150,000 a year part-time jobs do you know about and you get to help people?
How many full-time jobs do you know about?
Full-time, yeah, exactly. Okay, so number nine, and this is different than sexual education, number nine is dating/relationships. Okay, there's a great guy out of, I think he's in Ohio, Dave Coleman. I love Dave. Dave teaches how to kind of date on a shoestring budget, how to be creative with your dating and all that kind of stuff. Fantastic guy. Dave goes out for about $6,000 a speech. And Dave does, last time I talked to him, he was doing 12 to 15 a month because he was just such in demand for the dating type presentation. Think about that. Now, you're doing 12 a month at $6,000. That's $72,000 a month. And if you multiply that by, you know, let's just say 8 months, I mean, you got $575,000 business just on speaking fees, not even counting book sales or anything. Okay, number 10, anything dealing with motivation and inspiration, obviously, because that is a topic that's big for anyone, any corporation, any association, any youth group. Okay, so you might have that fantastic story of overcoming challenges, or you might have a story of how you didn't quit and you didn't give up when you were faced with some tough times in your life, or a story about how you achieved a goal or a dream. Well, I mean, don't you think kids need to hear that? Okay, number 11 is making a successful transition into college. This is a topic I also do, because this fits into what we mentioned earlier about orientation. And this is where they bring in all the students and the parents, okay? And this is orientation. And one of the topics that is great for them is, okay, now that you're going to college, how do you make a successful transition? How do you deal with separation anxiety from being away from your family? Or how do you deal with organization and time management because now you're on your own? I have a nephew who's going through that challenge right now. You know, he's on his own first year in college, and mom and dad aren't there, and the teachers don't care if you go to school now. So it's kind of like, well, how do I discipline myself to go to school, go to class, to study? Okay, number 12, anything dealing with current events. Okay, so if you had a topic right now that dealt with causing peace and having a nonviolent world or a community, you would be a hot topic right now because, you know, of all the turmoil going on. Okay, so anything dealing with a current event. Number 13, and this is kind of a funny one, but celebrity. They'd like to bring you in to talk if you are a celebrity. Now, this is what I mean. You don't have to be famous. If you wrote a book, you're a celebrity. If you have certain qualifications or experience from a certain industry, well, you are a celebrity or slash guru, if you will, perceived as one in that niche. Okay. Number 14, anything dealing with staff development. So you might have some great topic for goal setting or communication or team building, or it could be a sexual harassment type presentation. And you might be great at training the staff who goes out and impacts the kids. Well, you could be speaking for staff development training days. Okay, so you train them, they go out and impact the kids. Okay, number 15, this is a big one. Anything dealing with alcohol and drug awareness. There's a friend of mine, Rick Barnes, not the basketball coach from the University of Texas, but Rick Barnes, a speaker. Rick has a great program called Drink Think, and he teaches kids. He never got in trouble with drinking when he was in school because he always thought ahead of time. So he teaches kids how to think if they're at a party and how to make sure you know your alcohol limits and how to always have like a little mental checklist of buckling your seatbelt and things like that when you get into a vehicle. So, you know, Rick never got into trouble because of alcohol or drugs, but he goes and teaches that unique aspect, if you will, because he never got in trouble with it. Okay, so it's a great program. Number, let's see, what are we, 16?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, well, let me say one other thing. For those of you who have a topic related to alcohol and drug awareness or like date rape or sexual assault, man, let me tell you something. You fall under what's called the prevention category because schools have to do certain number of presentations and trainings every year as preventative work. So if you have like an alcohol or drug awareness topic or sexual assault or date rape avoidance, you know, that sort of thing, then you fall into this whole little sub niche called prevention, and man, you are almost golden because they got to bring these type of topics in every single year for preventative measures. Okay, next one, number 16. We're almost home, Brian. Almost done, buddy.
All right.
16 is financial. Teaching kids how to stay out of credit card debt, how to manage their finances, manage their money, you know, how to pay off school loans. That is a fantastic topic. 17 is women's issues. Okay, women's issues. And what I mean by that is think of women as a sub-niche also on the college circuit where they actually bring in programming just for the young ladies. So any kind of topic that we've been talking about, you can also be brought in, but only to deliver it to the female population of the campus. Okay, much like the Greek-related topics. Okay, the Greek fraternity and sorority folks could be bringing you in just to talk to them. Okay, so number 17, I think. I'm getting all confused here. I got so much info for them. Okay, we're almost done. I think we got three more. 17, community service, making a contribution back to the community, giving to the world. If you got a topic like that, great topic now for college campuses. Number 18, doing better in school or life. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory, and that should cover stuff like getting your life on purpose, how to study better. I mean, pretty much a lot of topics, goal setting, teamwork, vision, dreaming, planning, all that kind of fits under this. Number 19, two more, Brian. Number 19, multicultural affairs, anything dealing with, you know, multicultural affair-type topics. And then the last one, anything dealing, number 20, anything dealing with health, fitness, wellness, and eating habits, because kids go to school and, you know, unfortunately they're going to school and now they are eating bad. They're up at 2 a.m. Their chemistry, their body chemistry is all thrown off. So if you can help them to eat better, get in better shape, man, you are just kicking butt. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath. You can talk.
All right. That was a very, very good exhaustive list and exhausting for you. I'm glad that it was so long, though, because we have over 150 people that registered for this call, and
I think
all of them have submitted questions, and I've been going through some of them to try to condense and get everything together so that I could just figure out what people are trying to ask the most right now, and I've actually narrowed it down to just a few things.
Before you go, Brian, let me just say something about the topic to kind of wrap it up.
Yeah.
I don't know what, for you, the listener, I don't know what your message is, but I promise you that your message can fit under one of those 20 that I just gave you, or will fit under multiple different categories of the 20 I just gave you.
Okay. Let's see. There was a question here from, let's see the name, Aspen.
Oh, hey,
Canada.
Welcome.
Aspen would like to know if the discount you offered is good for May.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The only thing is, and I'm sorry if I wasn't clear, I was trying to ramble through it real fast. If you go ahead and sign up now, then we'll just put in like your little comment area at the bottom. Just say, heard James on Speaker Match Teleseminar and coming in May. That's all you need to say. Just say coming in May, and we will. You'll start to get our emails for December, but just please ignore them. And, you know, we want to keep you in the loop. We know that you'll be coming in May, and actually one of our staff people, Cindy, will then email you to say, hey, Aspen, I want to know, we know you're coming in May. You're just in our email sequence so that when we switch it over, you'll start getting the May ones. Yeah, the May. Hey, Brian, for May, and I'm not for sure on this yet. I got one confirmation for May. Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul, is coming to my May boot camp, and I'm waiting. I'm trying to get George Foreman, former heavyweight boxing champion and big TV sales guy, to come.
Great. Quick question. Gary from Oregon would like to know what the length is of a typical speaking event.
Oh, that's a great question, Gary. It depends. Like when I go and I speak, and this is shocking, Brian, for a lot of speakers to find this out, but the shorter the better. And it's like, well, wait a minute, James, you fly to like a school in Pennsylvania and they give you like a $10,000 check for 45 minutes? I'm like, yeah, actually it's better, because the kids, they don't want to sit there more than an hour. So the answer to your question, Gary, is 60 minutes, or if you fall under like the training category, because you're going to do like training at some of their – see, a lot of campuses will have like leadership training for all their dormitory student leaders. Well, they'll probably do that on an all-day type thing. So if I had to give you just the short answer, I would say either a one-hour talk, a three-hour talk, or a five-hour talk, okay, depending on if 1 hour you are a keynoter. Like I do all one-hour talks. You could be a trainer that trains for 3 hours. You have a three-hour training topic, and you have a five-hour, like you could be one of their all-day trainers.
Okay, James, we have a big list of people here that have all asked pretty much the same question, and that is basically, who do you contact?
Well, there are I'll ramble a bunch off. There are actually about 17 different departments, but let me just kind of ramble – a couple off for you that I think are important for you.
Okay, and the departments actually handle, they hire their own speakers usually?
Yeah, individual departments.
Okay.
The first is the coordinator or the director of student activities. Okay, now some are called directors, some are called coordinators. One's not better than the other. It's just some are labeled directors, some are called coordinators. I have no idea why they are not all called the same thing. Okay. There's also the by the way, the coordinator or the director of student activities, Brian, controls that activities fee budget stuff. You see how this all works together?
Okay.
The second person is there's always an assistant director or assistant coordinator. Now, this is usually a student who's in the master's program who is trying to get their certifications and their degrees so that they can actually move on to another school.
That was me. I held that position.
Oh, you? I didn't know that. You were an assistant? You were you?
I was at Columbia University.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you went to Columbia. You're actually smart. Oh, my God, I'm intimidated to talk to you.
I got to pull staples out of bulletin boards and find speakers.
And put posters up around campus.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you didn't go on to a full-time position then, right?
I did not, no.
Okay, so moving on, there's the coordinator of Greek life, or, again, it could be called the director of Greek life. I don't know why they're all just not called the same. Some are called Greek life coordinators, so some of the words are switched. But there's a person who is in charge of, like, the budget to bring you in to speak to the fraternity and sorority students. And that person is that Greek life coordinator or director of Greek life or coordinator of Greek life. Now, one that I am really big with because of my topic and because of my book is the Career Center director. If you have a topic that relates to careers, then this is someone that you're going to want to pursue, the director of career services or the career center coordinator. Okay, they mix it up back and forth. And then there are many, many more, Brian. I'll just kind of run through a few. Director of residential life, vice president of student affairs, athletic directors, lecture and programming board, president for commencement. I used to do at least 3 or 4 commencements a year. Black History Month coordinator. Here's a big one, orientation coordinator. This is the person who's in charge of the orientation events on their campus where all the students and the parents come in. And this is the thing. If you ever have an opportunity to speak just to the students or to the students and the parents, do the students and the parents, because the parents will buy anything for their son or daughter if it'll make them better in school. So you have,
that's a good tip.
Yeah, you got a lot of product sales. There is, like, the dean of students. Anybody who has a title that says student affairs after, so, like, vice president of student affairs, anybody that has student affairs in the title, because there are certain different titles now with student affairs in it, just understand they have access to a budget. Dean of students, I mean, there's multicultural affairs coordinator, Black History Month coordinator, leadership coordinator, life skills coordinator. And I know we're running out of time, Brian, and I know I'm kind of rambling through a lot of this, but I just want everybody to understand that we go through all this stuff in the training, and there's no way I can give you in 60 minutes or 75 minutes on a call all the stuff and go into detail on all this stuff. But I really am trying to fill this full of information for you so you at least have a good awareness on how to understand the college market.
We are almost out of time.
Okay,
I don't want to keep you too long, but I have one more question that I want to get to. You can spend as much or as little time as you want to on this.
Okay,
but what's the best way to get your material in front of a somebody who's going to book you at a college? Do you make a phone call? Do you send something in the mail? What's the best thing to do?
That's a great thing. Great question. I started out doing cold calling. And I will tell you, it was the biggest waste of time. And here's what else I learned from the coordinators. They would always say, don't cold call me. I'm busy. So you got to understand the career – I'm sorry, you got to understand the coordinator's life on a college campus. I have so much respect for these people because they're underpaid and usually doing multiple jobs. And a lot of them have to be at events. Like if there's an evening event, then they show up for that. If there's a weekend event, they show up for that. A lot of them got two or three events going on in a week, and some of them are running, you know, activities, but they're also running orientation. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they're doing, and they're always around, you know, out and about doing stuff. So what I was told by a lot of them was that, look, don't call me and interrupt me and all that kind of stuff. So I asked these coordinators. I remember when I was starting out, I said, look, I used to call them up on the phone. I'd call about, I think it was like 15 or 20 of them, and I said, I'm brand new, I'm starting out. Could I just have a couple minutes of your time and ask you a couple of quick questions? And they were all very generous and very nice. And I said, look, I'm starting out. How do you best like to be marketed to? Is it cold calls? Every single one of them were like, oh, don't interrupt my day. I said, okay, got it. Is it postcards? And they were like, no. Postcards, you know, it just gets lost, and we got big stacks of stuff, and those won't really stand out. They would always have this one drawer, if you will, with a file folder. And in the file folder, they would say, well, one thing I like are these four-page kind of brochure things. And they would be like basically 17 and a half by 11 sheet of paper, you know, folded into like a four-page brochure. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to send big, thick packets. And here's the cool thing that I found. It's only the cost of a first-class stamp when you drop one of these babies in the mail. Okay? And so the actual best thing to do, and we walked through this in the boot camp, is, and this is what the coordinators told me, is a four-page brochure that talks about all your great stuff and the benefits my kids will get. See, here's the problem. Most of the brochures that get put together never work. And then somebody will say, well, shoot, then this college speaking doesn't work. Well, it's because you put the wrong brochure together. Just because you put a brochure together doesn't mean it's going to work unless you do it the right way. And that's one of the things that we cover in the training. The other great way, Brian, to get noticed is, and we cover this in the boot camp, is how to do what's called showcasing, where you actually can get 10 or 15 or 20 minutes at a lot of these different association events where all the bookers go, and you can present your material in front of all the coordinators who are there. And I mean literally, if they like you, as soon as you finish your little preview showcase speech, they literally could book you right there. So those are the two best ways to really get your message out. And we cover those in depth in the training.
All right. Once again, if you'd like more information about James's training, you can go to speakermatch.com/college-speaking. There's a great deal there for a discount that is valid through the end of the month. And, again, if you're a Speaker Match Platinum member, we have a travel reimbursement available to you as well. I did have a question from Dolly. She wants to know if you're coming to Atlanta in the next year. Dolly, I don't know if you're trying to book James, but if you are, the best thing to do is just send me an email and I will forward that to him. James, I do appreciate your spending time with us today and taking a little extra time, but you know, as always, you've provided great information to people. I know that you've helped a lot of people, and hopefully some people will be joining you for your event in December or the following one in May.
Oh, man, I want everybody to come, and think of the lifetime value. You come, you learn it once, and you never have to learn it again, and you got it for the next 5, 10, 20 years, and let's say that you make just an extra $20,000 a year. I'm just blowballing it here. $20,000 a year, and you do that every year for the next 5 years, you make $100,000 off of a measly $19.97 investment to come to learn it, and it's actually $9.97 if you just split it with a friend.
Our guest has been James Malinchak talking about college speaking. Thank you for joining us, James.
Hey, Brian, give your website one more time.
speakermatch.com/college-speaking.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, buddy. I appreciate it. I hope I helped everybody. And thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the Speaker Match radio series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. Speaker Match is the leading provider of tools and services for emerging professional speakers. You can find more information about Speaker Match at www.speakermatch.com. Our toll-free number, if you prefer to reach us by phone, is 1-866-372-8768. International callers can reach us at area code 512-372-8768. Thank you again for listening, and we wish you the best in your speaking career.